How's that better?
Do I need to read that again?
Yes. No. From the beginning. Take two. No, I'm not going to read it again, but let me just give you the sense. How many in what you heard or read or followed along, you're like going last words or lasting words? Did you hear some of the stuff that was in that thing that he said? What were some of the things that you heard him saying in these last words with his followers? You didn't choose me, I chose you. What else does he say? Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Remain in you. Love one another. Go and produce lasting fruit. Okay, again, when you begin to put it in the frame, you have 12 hours left. What do you say? And Jesus is like, guys, you really need to understand this. I am the vine. My Father's the gardener. You need to understand who you are, who I am. And you need to begin to understand what your purpose is. I want to note three quick things from this passage that we need to understand if we're going to be ready to grow. The first is this. The Father wants our lives to be fruitful. Like, I think everybody needs to understand this. The Father wants our lives to be fruitful. Jesus begins this section of his teaching with his last I am claims. I am the true vine. Just so you know, this vine imagery is a metaphor that was used throughout the Old Testament to identify who God's people were and those connected with God's purpose. And the idea is this, is Jesus says, listen, I want you to understand, I'm the true vine. That the life and purpose of God flows through me. I am the true vine. I am the fulfillment of the promise. I am the one that has come to make everything right. It is in and through me. I am the true, the genuine vine. And then he goes on to say this, and my Father is the gardener. And I think this is such an important idea. Because what does a gardener do? A gardener creates spaces and interacts, in this case, with the vine in order to produce good fruit. Because what is it that the Father wants? What is it that the Father is looking for? What is the Father doing all these things, space and tending and caring? What is the purpose of all of this? Is so that there might be fruit. Even so that as we read this, it'll say this, like part of the tending. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay, have you ever read the Bible? Sometimes you're like going, I don't know that I like this passage. Okay, how many hear the words, cut off and prune and go, that sounds like a great day. Oh, sign me up. Like, how many of you've wrestled with some things in your life because there have been some things that have been cut away from your life? And sometimes we fight it and we wrestle with it. Sometimes there's areas in our life, even in areas where we have proficiency. I love it says, hey, he's bearing fruit, but you know what he's going to do with these areas that are even bearing fruit? He'll prune those things to make them more fruitful. But like, understand, what does the Father want in your life and mine is actually to produce fruit. As I mentioned earlier, that there was this understanding that in the Old Testament, that God's people were the vine, and the land that he gave them was the garden, the vineyard. And it says that God went out and he would look, and he was looking for good fruits. He provided the right all these different things. He's like going, but there's no fruit. Because what is it that God is looking for in your life and mine? And that is, he's looking for good fruit. Let me ask you a question. So I was reading this, thinking about this. And I want to share just an idea that just, it like dawned on me. How many wish you were just smarter than you are? I'm like, dude, this just dawned on me. I'm like, this, huh? Let me ask you this question. Who's the fruit for? Who is the fruit for? How many know the fruit isn't for the vine, but for the gardener? Okay, I think this is actually really important. Who is, who is the fruit for? See, sometimes when we talk about bettering our lives, improving our lives, who do we think the fruit is for? Us. How many of you went to school, you study, you did the work so that you could be smarter and get a better job because that makes your life better? How many of you are just like, well, you know what, I need to do the exercise. I need to diet. I need to, you know, it's the beginning of the year. We got all these grand plans. I got to get myself back in shape because if I do, it will make me feel better. Man, I need to grow this capacity. I need to be able to manage my time so that I can be more productive and that will make my life better. And so often as we talk about the fruit that God wants to produce, we think about it in terms of making our lives better. But who is the fruit for? Is it for the vine, or is it for the gardener? Have you ever considered this? The reason God wants to produce fruit in your life is both for his glory and for the advancement and the good of his purpose. Have you thought about the fact that there are things that God is trying to work in your life because he knows what he needs to advance his purpose, and you are the branch through whom he wants to bring good to others? The fruit isn't for the vine. The fruit is for the gardener. See, I think that when we begin to understand this, it begins to shift the way we actually have to begin to look at fruit in our life, because the fruit that God is trying to grow in us, though it may bless and benefit us, it is never meant to end with us. And this is so true of God's people. Even all the way back to the Abrahamic covenant, God says, listen, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing for all nations. I will create fruit in your life, and the fruit that I create in your life will be used to bless other people around you. The better isn't just for you. The better's for his glory and the advancement of his purpose. You see, the Father wants our lives to be fruitful, for our lives to reflect his character. And God's like, listen, I want to work in and through your life to help this fruitfulness grow. And sometimes he does it through the difficulty of pruning and cutting. Now, this is what I know. Not everything that happens to us is what God wills. But in everything that happens to us, there's something God wills for good. And part of it is understanding that God uses the difficulties of our lives, the pain, the challenges, because there's something that he's trying to grow in us. Because the Father wants our lives to be fruitful for his glory and his purpose. Secondly, fruitfulness requires our involvement. As I noted at the beginning, there's all this wishful thinking. Wouldn't it be great if our homes just improved? But improvement doesn't happen without the energy, the effort, the time, the investment. And what we're called to do is actually to partner with what it is that God is doing. It's Jesus who says again and again and again, remain in me. Remain in me. That's something that we're called to do. There's something required of us. Now, think about our world. How many know that we live in a world where we want wealth without work? We love wealth without work. Okay, I'm going to share some things that bug me.
Anybody have things that bug them? Okay, this is my moment to share what bugs me. I hate walking out of BJ's because on the way out, they have vending machines filled with scratch-off tickets. As a dollar in a dream. Oh, man, if I hit the right one. Wealth without work. Okay, I had to scratch it, so there was a little work there. We do this in our culture. Now, this is what I think is amusing. This is to me, the great irony. How many remember vending machines with cigarettes in them? Do you remember those ones? Like, you go in and you put your coins in, you pull the rod, like, yeah, baby. You can't find those anywhere now. Because we're like, no, that's bad for you. But now, don't worry, we will set up vending machines. Hey, we'll do online betting because you know what? We all want wealth without work. Or at least that's what's pushed in our culture. Not only that, sometimes we want wisdom without instruction. God, make me wise. But we really don't want people teaching us. I know what to do. I know what to do. I know. Anybody here ever said, I know? Did you know that if you know everything, you can learn nothing? You see, I want you to understand that God wants to grow something in us, but there's some things that we wrestle against in our own being. We like wealth without work. We like wisdom without instruction. And we like strength without struggle. I want to be fit and strong and not have to wrestle with any of it. Just give me a pill. Like, this is the way we function, and sometimes we think, you know, this is how my spiritual life happens. I bring myself before God and say, God, grant me wealth. And he's like, work. And you're like, Lord, just give me wealth. And we're like, God, give us wisdom. And he goes, okay, well, then you're going to need to take some instruction. That's all right. I know it. I know what I'm doing. We're like, God, give me strength. Oh, but God, it's starting to get hard. God, take away the hardness. I thought you wanted strength. See, the thing we have to understand, God's like, listen, there is good fruit that I want to bring to your life, but it's going to require and cost something of you. If you read this passage, there are three quick things that he says everybody needs if you want to grow good fruit. Number one, you need devotion. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Like, you've got to remain in him. You've got to devote yourself to him. You've got to worship him. You've got to make him a priority in your life. He says in verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So it's not just about remaining in him. It's making sure that his word is remaining in us. That means we're interacting with his word. Goes on to say that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so there's this aspect of ongoing prayer. And I think that if we're going to grow good fruit, like, our involvement is, our devotion to Christ needs to be elevated. How many know sometimes, if we have time, we'll make devotion work? Like, if the schedule's clear enough, we can make church on Sunday. I'm grateful you're here. I'm just using it as an example. Or you know, if I'm not too tired, I'll read my Bible and pray. See, what we have to do is there's an involvement that we have to do. There's a work that we do, we lean into. And we have to say, you know what? Devotion matters. Like, connection with Christ matters. I need to remain in him. Like, I have to organize my life. And just so you know, the way that it's set up in the language that it's written in is it's something that you continually do. It's not like, well, I went to church Sunday, I'm good. It's an ongoing remaining in him. Not only that, secondly, is the first thing that we need to do is we need to devote ourselves. We also need to discipline ourselves. Jesus says this, he talks about, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. There's actually a connection between obedience and love. Did you know that obedience is the demonstration of your love for God? Did you know that? See, if you say, I love God, but you know what, I'll do what I want, is that really love for God? See, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. You know what my command is? Jesus keeps it really simple. Love one another as I have loved you. Like, okay, so like it's bad enough that he says love one another. How many know the people around you can be hard to love? I was just kidding on that one. Some of you are like touching your spouse. Some of you are looking at your kids. We're like going, good Lord. Like, it's hard enough to say love one another, but then when Jesus adds the next part, as I have loved you. That's my command. Love other people like I have loved you. Now, how many know that's going to take a little discipline? Now, this is what I've learned in life. I'll say it this way. Everybody in life gets disciplined. And just so you know, disciplined isn't necessarily a bad word. We've made it bad in our world. And discipline doesn't always mean punishment, though we've often make discipline an expression of punishment. Discipline is about limiting your life to certain parameters for certain purposes. Like, so if you're a runner, you discipline yourself by running on a regular basis, and you bring your life within a parameter that this is what my life is going to look like because the discipline is running, and so I have these parameters. We will be disciplined in life either by others or by ourselves. And so part of it is in this journey that if we're going to grow, there's an aspect of, you know what, there are some restraint I need to bring to bear on my own life. Sometimes we're waiting for someone, like I said, sometimes we're waiting for just some magic thing to appear, wealth, wisdom, strength. And God's like, no, actually what you got to do, you got to commit to me. But not only that, now you got to begin to discipline your life, bring your life in the boundaries of what it is that I'm calling you to do. You see, we need to learn to discipline ourselves for what is good and what God is calling us to rather than just living toward our wants and whims. And that's where most people live. If I want to, sure. Yeah, if it fits my schedule, sure. But a disciplined life says, you know what? I'm actually going to choose to do this. See, if we're going to grow, we have to devote ourselves, we have to discipline ourselves, and then the third thing we have to do is we have to learn to delight in the Lord. Delight. I'll just say this, following Jesus does not have to be a bad time. Have you ever met Christians that they say they follow Jesus and you're like going, ooh, you look miserable all the time? You know what I'm talking about? They're like, they're a terrible advertisement for Christianity. You're like going, really? Looks like everything's terrible. Okay, did you notice that Jesus says, listen, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete? I'll say this, following Jesus does not have to be, it doesn't have to be duty, drudge, or dread. I do it because I have to. Anybody here do things because you have to? My Emily works for somebody, and the thing that he says all the time, hey, we don't have to do this, we get to do this. How many know attitude matters? You know, it doesn't just, the things in following Jesus, being obedient, it doesn't have to be, oh man, I have to do this. It doesn't have to be drudgery. Oh, it's such a burden to follow Jesus. It doesn't have to be dread, something we don't enjoy. Rather, it's the psalmist who says this, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is what I've come to know. When you begin to delight in God, he begins to change your desires. And then you begin to experience things that are way better. Delight yourself in the Lord. So I bring back around. So the first thing that I noted is simply that God wants our lives to be fruitful. Yet fruitfulness requires our involvement. And just to kind of like bring it to a close, we've actually been chosen to make a difference. As I read verse 16, I love verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Have you ever had those moments you felt like you had to choose God because your life was a mess? And sometimes think, well, the only reason I chose him was because this, this, and this. And we think that we are the ones that were doing the choosing. You want to know something like totally crazy? As a part of the 8 billion people on the planet, God chose you and said, there is good that I want to do in you, and there's good that I want to do through you. I choose you. Think about all the issues that we got in our world today, and we're like, this world is like a train wreck. There's this, this, and this, and all these things, and God's like, yeah, I understand, and there's a good that I want to bring to this world. There's a salvation. There's a hope. There's a rescue, a redemption. There's a restoration I want to bring, and you know what? I've chosen you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. I have made you. I have been bringing you through these things because you know what? There's a grace and a mercy that I want to bring to a broken world, and that's through you. There's a delicious fruit that I want to share with someone who's hungry, with someone who's hurting. And you've been chosen to make a difference. This is why I said earlier there's something God wants to work in us, because there's something he wants to do through us. There's something God wants to work in us. Maybe you're here and you're just wrestling with your own life. You're like going, what good can come from my life? Like, how many here have issues? Like, honest moment, how many of you, you're like, dude, you should see some of my issues. We do. God does. And he says, I choose you. And you'll hear that voice in your head say, yeah, but look at what you did in the past. Look what your dysfunction is today. Look at the things that you're struggling with. Look at that dumb decision that you made. There's no way that God can use you. And I want you to know, the Bible reminds us, like Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And not only that, I appointed you. And the idea of appointment is this: you've been made with a purpose and for a purpose. You have been set in place in time to accomplish something on behalf of the Creator. You didn't choose me. I chose you. This is why he's like, listen, there is fruit that I want to bear in your life. There's some good stuff that I want to bring to you, because there's some stuff I need to do through you. And in the midst of all our inadequacies, our insecurities, we find out that this fruitfulness doesn't flow from us. It actually flows through him, through Jesus. And my prayer that as we get ready for what God has next for us, I think we need to be ready to grow. And for that to happen, we have to prioritize our relationship with Jesus. It was Jesus who sits with his disciples, knowing in 12 hours, everything's going to look so different. And he says, guys, just remember this, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The life stuff doesn't flow through you, it flows through me to you. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Like, there's fruit that God wants to bring to bear in our lives, and the only way we're going to experience it is through relationship with Jesus. And we just have to prioritize that. Where we take time to worship and read, where we devote ourselves to him, where we allow his word to shape our hearts, our thinking, where we just begin to lift our voices in praise and prayer to him. I think also, if we're going to be ready to grow, I think we also need to be intentional about focusing on fruit that we need to grow in our lives. You see, we ultimately are working with God to grow our lives. Again, there's an involvement piece that we have. And sometimes we're a little overwhelmed because we got so many areas in our life that need to grow. Because the biggest room for the biggest room in the world is what? The room for improvement. You're like, dude, you should see the size of this puppy. And you're like, where do I begin? I challenge you this, just pick one thing. Best place to start, so in regard to growing your character, is look at the fruit of the Spirit. You see this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is this: it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like, these are the fruit of the Spirit. You know what? You can just walk through the list. Okay, as I'm going through this life, how well am I loving the people around me? Am I loving people like Christ loved us? Love one another as I have loved you. Hey, am I doing that? Maybe you just need to take a season and say, you know what, I'm just going to really be intentional about growing my love so that it reflects the Savior's love more and more and more. Could you imagine what would happen if you became intentional about that? Maybe you're in a place in your life where your life is filled with worry. How many of you have moments where you're like, worry is all over the place? Did you know that worry? I'll back up. I love this fruit of the Spirit is actually peace. If you read over in Philippians, he'll tell us, you know, Paul will say, hey guys, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. And then he goes on talking about, hey, you know, come before him with, you know, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petitions, present your requests to God. And then he says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know what worry does in our lives? Worry wears us out. Like, in the midst of the challenge that you're going through, the higher the worry gets, the more worn out you become. And instead of increasing the worry, maybe what we need to do is increase the peace. God, help me understand what it means to rest in your peace. See, some of you, there's a lot of wearing that's going on in your life, in your relationships, just simply because your worry meter is just like, it's pegged. And God's like, hey, I want to grow you because there's some fruit that I want manifest in your life. And part of what you need to do is you need to learn to grow in peace and begin to produce the fruit of peace in your life. And just so you know, peace doesn't mean I'm not aware of the difficulties around me. Peace is just this, that you know what, even though this stuff may be going on around me, I know that there is a confidence that I have that God has me, he's holding me, and he has all my tomorrows. And I can trust him. I could go through all the fruit of the Spirit, but I just challenge you. We actually need to pick a fruit that needs to grow in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I would also note this, as you get ready to grow, don't waste your difficulties. Okay, your hard moments are hard moments. God uses the hard moments of our lives to shape us. If we can learn the lesson in our hard moment, this is what I came to know. If we can learn the lesson of the hard moments we're a part of, it saves us from having to go through the same thing or same lesson again. Like, there are things that God's trying to teach us. And don't waste your difficulties. Easily, when it comes to times of difficulty, it's really easy to make it about somebody else. Like, if my coworker actually had skill capacity, if they had a brain, if my spouse would just do the dishes more often, vacuum more regularly, fold the laundry appropriately, then our marriage would be good. In so many scenarios, we have made it on somebody else in order for our situation to be resolved. What would it look like if we stepped into the situation and just simply said, okay, God, are there things you're trying to cut away from my life in this space? And by, I'm not saying your spouse.
I just need to get rid of my spouse. That'll get rid of my problems.
Just so you know, getting rid of a spouse doesn't get rid of the problems, because in a relationship, there's more than one person. Because part of the problem is you. And so you can get rid of a spouse, but you'll often find out that there's a problem that walks with you, because the problem isn't just the spouse, it's you. So you might be asking, okay, God, what are the things you're trying to cut out? What are the things you're trying to prune in my life? Don't waste your difficulties. It's bad enough that you have to go through this difficulty. Let's allow the Spirit to teach us in the midst of it. The last thing I would just simply say is this, that if we're going to be ready to grow, we need to be ready to respond to the purpose God is calling us to. Because this is what I will say to every one of you. You may not be perfect yet, but there's already fruit that God has produced in your life, and there is a reason for that fruit because there's a purpose God wants to serve. You did not choose me, but I've chosen you, and I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And there is fruit that God has already worked into your life, and there is fruit that he wants to use from your life to bless other people. And what we have to do, if we're going to grow, is we have to begin to use what it is he's already produced in our lives. There's something that God is working in us because there's something God wants to do through us. If we're going to be ready for next, we need to be ready to grow. The Father wants our lives to be fruitful. Okay, please hear that. God wants your life to be fruitful. He loves you, he's chosen you, and he's appointed you. And he wants your life to be fruitful. Yes, you may have some stuff in the past. Yeah, you may have some issues today. But he is working in you because there's something good he wants to do in you and through you. Fruitfulness is going to require our involvement. May we deepen our devotion. May we become more diligent about the disciplines we need to develop. And may we learn to delight in our Lord, because we've been chosen to make a difference. I believe that this year is going to be a year of growth. I believe that this is a year that God wants to use our lives in greater ways, for greater purposes. And my prayer is just simply, God, would you help us be ready for what's next? God, would you help us be ready to grow? Because there's good that he wants to do in you and through you. So, Father, as we come into your presence once again, God, as we come recognizing your amazing love for us, Lord, I'm asking that, Lord, you would grow us. And that, God, we would work with what you're doing in us. God, I know we all wrestle with so many different things. Yet, God, you love us and you've called us and you've chosen us and you've appointed us. And Lord, may we be faithful in walking with you, in remaining with you, that your life might flow in us and through us to produce everything that you desire to do. God, would you help us be ready for what's next? In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, good word this morning. I'll just vote that was good. You can figure out what you think, but that's just me. The fruit isn't just for you. It's for the gardener. And I believe that God is doing something and has done something in you because there's a work that he's calling you to, that he's calling all of us to. May we be obedient. May we grow our faith. May we continue to grow in him. I love you. I'm excited. We'll be sharing with you just some of the direction we sense God is calling us to Wednesday and Thursday. I really challenge you to be here or in Dryden, Wednesday here, Thursday there, 6:30, because we really want to talk about what we really sense God calling us to, because I believe that God has shaped fruit that he wants to bless people with. So as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go on to strengthen his might. Be sure to hug a few necks on the way out.
I don't have my usual people playing and stuff like that, but you're loved. If there's anything we'd be praying with you about, fill out a communication card and want you to know we're praying for you. God bless. We'll see you soon.